Yes, it is 6 o'clock tonight. Marquette against Xavier for the lead in the Big East regular season. The Hall of Famer Tony Smith on assignment. Joining me now is Jim McElvain. I want to apologize. I wasn't sure if you had 299 or 399 blocks. That's pretty stupid.
399 is the number.
399 is the number, and I have also suggested that they go through the highlights and get you number 400, but no one has listened to me on that, and I know you're not the slightest bit, you don't give a hoot, right?
It's nice to be acknowledged, but the fact of the matter is they didn't even start tracking block shots until a lot of the great big men went through the college game, so... Lou Alcindor's blocks and Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and all those guys never, you know, I'd be way down on the list if all those guys were counted.
399. It seems like Shaq has a few more than you, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think he probably does, but probably played a lot more than I did.
Yes. All right,
not games, but minutes.
But minutes, yes. Let's get to the reason I wanted to talk to you is I'm not sure anybody will ever break that record, but I never thought anybody would break Tony Miller's record, 274 assists in a season. He was on your team. Tyler Kolek is now at 201, and he might have a shot because he'll play a few more games. Tony Miller at 8.3. He's at 7.7. Nobody cares about that. He won't have played that many more games. It will... explain for those people who don't know who Tony Miller was so that they can put it in proper context as to what Tyler Kolek is doing.
Tony Miller was a heck of a football player, Homer. Desmond Howard was on his team, and he led them to a state championship in football and then stepped away from football to focus on basketball and led his team to a state championship in basketball, but a great floor leader. Tough as nails, played one of his seasons at Marquette with a broken wrist. And he was, you know, he also had the good fortune to be surrounded by a lot of 1,000-point scorers during his career at Marquette and guys who were high-percentage shooters. Rob Lagerman,
Tony Miller to Damon Key, turns, shoots, scores.
Yeah.
How many times did he do that? From
lots. Lots 12, inside, 15. Lots outside.
Yeah.
So you got to have that combination. And Tyler Kolek has that combination. He's a tremendous floor leader and passer, and he's got a lot of big-time scores in terms of percentages. They score very efficiently as a team.
Now, this is an old man's point, but I think the high school, I don't know if he went to Ignatius in Cleveland or not. But
St. Joe's.
St. Joe's. I think Elvis Gerbach was there before him, and he couldn't win a state title.
That's right.
And then Tony took over. And won a state title with, who was it he said that was on the team?
Desmond Howard, I think.
Desmond Howard, yes. Yeah. All right, so on to Marquette, other than Tyler Kolek. You're a big guy. I don't know that I've ever seen a big guy like Oso Iguodara, especially one his size who can dribble as well as he can. Put him into context of, I know big guys are a little bit different than when you played, but your thoughts on him.
I love his game. I get a little nervous when he goes to the foul line, as everybody does. And I sometimes wonder if he's such a good passer because that kind of eliminates some of the chance of him getting fouled and going to the basket to shoot free throws. But just a tremendous player inside and out, great vision, and knows his range, doesn't try to play beyond his skill set, and has a really good court sense for where his teammates are at all times.
Can you compare him to any previous player at Marquette?
Not in the time that I've been watching, because he's such a facilitator. You know, he's not necessarily a score first or a pass first guy. He's an opportunity first guy. And I don't know that we've had as good a post passer as we've had with Oso since I've been watching Marquette play. And at the same time, he's a certainly capable scorer if the opportunity presents itself.
I know he's the greatest dribbler at that height of anyone I've ever seen at Marquette.
Yeah, he's really a good ball handler. But again, it's not one of those situations where he goes in over his head and tries to break down, you know, full court pressure and stuff like that. He takes advantage of his teammates when the opportunities are there and plays within himself. And I think the whole team does a pretty good job of that, and that's evident in the general lack of turnovers they tend to have, even when they lose.
Talking with the one and only Jim McElvain, I claim that you and Gwendolyn are still the tallest parents in the world. You used to be the tallest couple in the world. You got passed by 7'8 and 6'1. But I want to be accurate. Tony always says I make stuff up. Am I accurate that you are still the tallest parents in the world?
We could be. I don't know if anybody really tracks that.
But, I do. I do.
George Mirasan and Liliana, his wife.
Yes.
I'm just not sure how tall Liliana is, but they'd be close to us in cumulative height.
And I know that his son plays for Georgetown. Not very much.
Yes.
Very little.
No, he's a preferred walk-on.
Oh, okay. Though Dikembe Mutombo's son played, I think, had maybe his greatest game ever at Georgetown against Marquette. He still lost.
Wow. Well,
I thought you would notice that.
I was in the Mojave Desert for that game, so I missed it.
For those of you people that don't know that you as the Renaissance man, tell them what you do, because they knew that you worked for Optima Battery when it was with Johnson Controls, but it's no longer with Johnson Controls, but you're still pushing batteries, right?
Yeah, same building, new name. Clarios is our parent corporation, and it's the old Power Solutions group from Johnson Controls that makes up Clarios, and Optima's part of that. And we sponsor a lot of cool off-road stuff, so I was in the Mojave Desert for about a week and a half at the King of the Hammers, which is the largest spectator sporting event in the entire state of California. They have, like, acknowledged attendance of, like, 65,000 people or something like that, but it's the Mojave Desert, and so not everybody's paying admission, if you know what I mean, and there's no telling how many people are out there. There could be 100,000 or more.
Wait a minute, how hot is it? Who wants to go out there?
It's February, Homer. It's not that bad. It's actually quite cold. It gets into the 40s and 30s at night, but up into the 60s and sometimes the 70s in February. So it's not too bad.
Not too bad. For people who don't know, Matt can come on the show at any time and mention something someone's never heard of. I was thinking of asking you also, Aaron Rodgers is going to this 4 days of darkness. I don't know if you heard about this, but I'm sure you can come up with something you've heard of that's as what I think is crazy is that. Have you ever heard? Go ahead.
When you get into that strata that he's in, the world reacts differently, and you just can't go through life normally anymore. It's kind of a bummer. I think the masks, when everybody was walking around wearing masks, that was one of the greatest things ever for celebrities, because it was a chance for them to go out and walk around the public and be totally hidden, and I think there's probably more than a few that still do that and get away with it. But, you know, for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, certainly in the state of Wisconsin and well beyond that, it's hard for him to navigate life in a normal fashion, and so sometimes I wouldn't be surprised if he and other guys in his situation have to do some non-traditional things.
You've done things, I think, I'm sure, I don't have to get in particular of it, the people might see as odd for someone you're tall. Had you ever heard of 4 days of darkness as something someone does?
You know, people do all kinds of weird stuff. You know, maybe it's like an extended sensory deprivation experience or something.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, it's that kind of stuff. And used to be, I thought you had to be in a war and torture or some form of, in jail, but I guess not. So, yeah, it's. The guy who does one in Oregon is the guy who spent like 6 months living in the desert by himself and finding food.
Well, Rodgers was on Rogan's podcast, and Rogan has a sensory deprivation tank. And whether they talked about it on the podcast or not, I'm sure Rogan talked to him at some point during their conversations about using the tank and then using it in connection with ayahuasca or whatever kind of recreational drugs that he used. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, especially if there's like a window for drug testing in the NFL that you could do it right at the end of the season and then get clean. And if you're playing another year, not test positive.
So we can go to who's it? Rogan, he his self what tank?
Joe Rogan has a sensory deprivation tank at his facility, and he's invited many of his guests to.
So the reality is it would make sense that Rodgers has actually done that, been in the tank, and made him think of doing this. I would lean toward that as a possibility.
I would say so.
Because otherwise, all right, back to Marquette, because the big game tonight against Xavier. I said I have this difficulty and always had of the importance of the NCAA tournament. Be nice if Marquette won this game, won the Big East regular season, won the Big East even postseason tournament, but nothing matters to me like the NCAA tournament. I said I would trade either for an NCAA tournament win since it's been so long since Marquette had one. And if you win those things and don't win in the tournament, I'm not sure if anybody really remembers much, but you played. Take it away.
They hang banners if you win the conference. So I guess I would trade a first-round win for a regular season conference championship.
Well, we're 2-0. Pebble said exactly the same thing. But yeah. you know, any year
you get to hang a banner is a great year.
All right. I'm different. I look up at the banner, and you know what the first thing I would say is?
Lost in the first round.
No, why do you got a banner for that? You know?
You get the year that you made the tournament on a banner.
Yes, and that again, like Lottie frickin' die. I want won a game in the tournament, and maybe it might because it's been so long since Marquette won one. Now Marquette has never won a conference postseason tourney. They have won. You were conference regular season champs, I believe, in the Great Midwest your senior year, right?
Correct. The first regular season conference champions for Marquette.
And you know what I remember from that year?
They won the Catholic Invitational back in the 50s, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And no one even knew that when they did it. But, yes, it was the 40s or something. However, I ask any Marquette fan about your senior year. It's a new male. 98% say beat Kentucky and made the Sweet 16. And I'm probably low at 98%. I don't think anybody remembers that you won the conference. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, but that's not one win in the NCAA tournament. That's two.
That's two.
It was against a pretty good team. So.
Yes. So you think it would change if Marquette made the Sweet 16. That might trump anything else. Though, I will say this.
I would trade a Sweet 16 run for a conference championship.
You would?
Yes.